Hello and welcome to Faith Conversations. My name is Mel Lorenz, and I'm really glad you decided to listen today. We get to speak to people from all over the world, authors, leaders, and many people who have some take on the intersection of real life and real faith. It's a special privilege today to be able to interview Eugene Peterson, who is a prolific author, a profound thinker, for 29 years a pastor, for 20 years a professor, the author of the best-selling translation of the Bible, The Message, and many other books. And we're glad to be able to talk to him today about his most recent book, which is a personal memoir called The Pastor. Thank you, Eugene, for talking to us today.
Thank you, Mel.
Eugene, you've written a memoir, and many, many leaders are glad that you have, because we know that over quite a few years you've compiled lots of experiences. You take your vocation very seriously. You have strong values. And you write in your book that you didn't really intend to be a pastor. It was kind of a haphazard unfolding of God's calling in your life. Tell us more about that.
I grew up in a small town in Montana, and I just never had a pastor. We had a lot of religious leaders in our little church, but they never stayed around very long. It was a great place for hunting and fishing, and they'd come for a couple of years and go on. I always liked them. They were good people and nice people and fun to be with, but they weren't pastors. I just never had a sense that they even knew my name. So I guess I grew up with this feeling that being a pastor was not really a respectable way of life or had any dignity to it. So, well, I like books and I love being a Christian, and I just thought I could be a professor someday. So that's how it happened. And I just gradually kind of drifted away from, well, I didn't drift away. I never was engaged in thinking about myself as a pastor. And then slowly other things happened and I became a pastor.
How did that come about then?
I went to seminary, and one of my professors decided he should send me on to graduate school and get a degree and come back and to help him teach, and I did that. But they weren't paying me very much. I was married, going to have a child soon, and so I took a job in a church, a Presbyterian church. I wasn't Presbyterian, and for the first time in my life, I was 23 years old, I was with a pastor who really took being a pastor seriously. He was a man of God, and I realized after maybe 6 months working with him, I'd go into the city, this is in White Plains, just north of New York City, and teach my Greek and Hebrew classes 2 days a week, and an associate pastor with him. And I realized that this is what I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to do this. I just didn't know there were jobs to do this kind of thing.
So you were at one church for 29 years. Tell us about the scope and the development of your ministry there.
Well, it was a new congregation. Denomination assigned me to start this congregation, and it was a suburb of Baltimore. I was new at this. I know I had been 3 years with the pastor in New York, but he was very different from me. He was tall, good-looking, athletic, and I wasn't. So there was no chance of me copying him. So here I was trying to start this new congregation. We were in the basement of our home. The church was our basement. And I learned on the job. And the first thing I think I learned was I've got to take these people seriously. These are children of God. Suburbia was a very boring place to me. I grew up in a small town and was educated in big cities. And this just seems so flat. And I think this is when I first learned that I don't get to pick my congregation. I take what's given to me. By that time, I was imagining, well, when I get my feet on the ground and know what I'm doing, I'd like to be a pastor of a college church, a university town, and have professors and students in my congregation. And people in my congregation, my little infant congregation in our basement, sitting on folding chairs with cement block walls around, the only thing they ever read was TV Guide. And then I read something, which just sometimes you read something that just really sticks with you and penetrates you. For years, I'd been fond of John Henry Newman, admired him, an English professor and pastor. He was converted to Catholicism when he was in his 40s, early 40s, and he was at that time the most brilliant person in England. I mean, his reputation was just stellar. He was a professor at Oxford, and when he converted to Catholicism, he decided he wanted to start an oratory, which was a small group of pastors, and he went to Birmingham, an ugly factory town, and started this little community in the middle of the city. And people were just shocked at what he did. Here he is, the finest mind most people thought of in England, and here he is now with these working class people, and he said to them, Birmingham people also have souls. And that just hit me. Suburban people also have souls. And I settled in, and I was there for 29 years.
What did you believe your most important responsibilities were to that congregation?
Oh, quite simple. I wanted to lead them in worship. I wanted to give them a place where they could be safe and quiet and listen to the Word of God. And so worship was the central thing we did. We worshiped, and I tried to present the Scriptures in such a way they could understand them. That's probably where I got started with imagination and ended up translating the Bible into contemporary American English. And I wanted to build a community. I wanted to form a community. Suburbia is a very non-community place, and everybody was fencing in their yards and protecting their privacy and double-locking their doors, and I wanted to form a community. And I thought that would be the easy part. I thought these people would just love to have neighbors, and they didn't. So the easy part really was gathering them for worship, and the difficult part was developing community. But those two things stayed with me. They've stayed with me all my life.
You're listening to Faith Conversations. Today our guest is Eugene Peterson, who is the author of many books, including the best-selling translation of the Bible called The Message. And we're talking to him today about his recent book, a memoir called The Pastor. Eugene, what would you say to church attenders? What should they expect from their church? What should they not expect? Because in this whole push and pull of expectations, things can get a little tangled sometimes.
We live in a consumer culture, and people are used to shopping for what they want, defining their needs in terms of consumer needs. We're trained as consumers from the time we get out of bed each day. But I think if I could just say, this is what you expect. Expect to go into a place where you can be quiet and listen and pray and be taken seriously just for who you are. Don't expect the church to fix you and make you into something you aren't. This business of becoming a Christian, becoming a whole person, is a long, slow process. Don't be impatient. When people ask me how to find a church, I usually tell them, go to the smallest church that's nearby where you can walk to it and determine to stay there for at least 6 months. If it's not working after 6 months, then you're free to go someplace else. But to try to break this consumer mentality of expecting something that, none of us are ready for God. We want a God who makes us happy. And that's not the way it works scripturally or historically. God calls us to follow Him in Jesus. And that takes some getting used to, retraining our imaginations, our expectations.
Who would you say were the people who were the most helpful to you in your career as a pastor?
Well, they were all in the cemeteries by the time I arrived. I'd say John Henry Newman was one. Alexander White, a Scottish Presbyterian in Edinburgh, and a Catholic layman that nobody's ever heard of these days, Baron Friedrich von Hugo, a layperson who was a great letter writer, and he had an independent income. And he just took care of people and wrote these long letters in five different languages. I found a voice there. It was a pastoral voice, not telling me how to be successful as a pastor, but telling me how to pay attention and listen to people as a pastor. White was a preacher, a pastor. Newman was this kind of redefined, self-defined, or I guess I should say scripture-defined person, working in difficult circumstances. Things were not compatible to him. And von Hugo was paying attention to what was going on in the world and in people's lives. Alexander White was a great preacher and a great storyteller. When I was a pastor, I had always thought I'd be a professor, and on my study I had diplomas hanging on the wall. And after about 2 years, I took those diplomas off, put them in a file, and hung the pictures of these three men, Alexander White, John Henry Newman, von Hugo, and they're still here in my study right now.
This is the end of part one of a two-part interview